Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh, and I'm warm.
Yeah, well, you northern Floridians, it must be difficult.
You should ask me why I'm warm, because we are currently experiencing a cold snap that much of the nation is experiencing.
Yeah.
And we've had lows in the 20s and 30s here in north central Florida, which sounds even a lot colder to our friends in Britain because it's in the minuses, you know, when you get down into the 20s. But I am wearing, speaking of our friends over in that part of the world, I am wearing a beautiful Irish wool sweater that my lovely wife Amanda purchased for me from Ireland, and I could not be toastier warm.
Well, that sweater, from what I can see from South Florida, is very stylish. So Amanda has really good taste.
She clearly does. She married me. Not the point, though. The point is I feel that all of the sheep in Ireland are surrounding me and hugging me, and I feel so warm. It's amazing.
You sheep herder, you.
Listen, I feel like you just kind of insulted me there in a backhanded sort of way.
Oh, really? Do you think that was a little bit of a backhand?
I feel like in Scotland that's an insult, but whatever. So speaking of Ireland.
Yes. My ancestors were from Ireland and Scotland.
Famously, according to legend, what did St. Patrick do for Ireland?
What did St. Now you're putting my seminary days on notice here, because I don't think you
learned this in seminary.
Oh no, I learned it at the pub.
Famously, what did St. Patrick do for Ireland?
He developed green beer.
He chased the snakes out, according
to... He chased the snakes out. Very good, yeah. Yes.
Although, sadly, I was reading, and it was more likely that it was the Ice Age that did it. Rather than St. Patrick, yet another.
Oh, so that's why you're thinking, because you're icy cold. It's icy cold in northern Florida, where it's sunny and balmy here in South Florida. But it, you know, the natives are restless because it's in the 50s here. But I'm still in my shorts. So.
You are in a t-shirt. I did notice that.
Yeah.
Amanda and I and the kids are heading over to the UK in March. So my hope is that it will warm up there.
Do you have your passport?
I do have my passport.
Not to bring up frustrating situations that happened a year ago.
So just reminding our friends out there listening, if you are going to travel internationally, do not purchase your tickets until you are sure that you have your passport, because that's too much stress involved, especially since passport wait times have increased exponentially. So, word to the wise.
Yeah. And, you know, international travel is pretty cool. I'm hoping to get over to Spain this year. There's a couple of things that might get in the way family-wise, but, you know, hope springs eternal.
Well, I hope that for you, too. And this leads quite nicely into our topic for today. I love traveling. I have loved traveling. But, you know, I especially recently, you know, with Amanda also loving to travel, I've done it a lot more. And I've become a lot more aware of travel culture and travel considerations. And one thing that I'd like for you to talk to me about is this idea of sustainable travel. Now, sustainable travel, I looked it up, and the meaning of sustainable travel is fuzzy at best, just kind of out there. There's people who think that it means one thing, people who think that it means another thing. So I think that this would be a great topic for us to chat about today.
Well, I think so too. And I was introduced to sustainable travel when I was in the middle of the courses at University of Barcelona School of Tourism and Hospitality. I did finish the master's degree in that, but that's where I first became aware of sustainable travel. And when you think about, you know, what, like you, it's like, what really is that? What does sustainability really mean, especially as it relates to tourism? And it's the big word with small, with few letters, ecosystems. How do you go into a community and sustain it economically? Well, goodness, travel is all about economics. It brings people into, like you going to England, me wanting to go to Spain. You know, travel is all about the economy. But there's also a component to the economy that to travel that impacts the economy, the social and the environmental component of going to an area. You know, that carbon footprint that you hear people talking about, that might not be a friendly term in some realm, but when you think about it, if you have thousands upon thousands of people traveling into a destination, what did they leave behind? How does a destination continue to be sustainable with traffic that, this probably isn't the most professional term, traffic that they're just not used to? So you think of some of the communities throughout the world that are kind of, they're not putting travel regulations on, but they're trying to be a little bit more mindful about their locale. And I just had a bunch of words come to my mind, and it's like, I have to stop. Because it's like, I can't say all those things at the same time. But what I can say is, to give the example of, do you take the trash out at your place, your home, on a regular basis?
Is that a rhetorical question? Or are you asking?
It's a rhetorical question. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how much trash do I try to say this correctly, if there's a, how much trash do travelers bring to local communities? How does that impact the ecosystem? You know, it's far beyond economics. And, you know, it's I guess it's as simple as saying, making choices that reduce the harm to the place that you visit. And that, you know, that comes in a lot of there's a lot of different ways to looking at that, but I think in its simplistic terms, that's what sustainability really is all about. And we could take it into other areas as well. And of course, if I'm going to look at my favorite topic, travel, making travel safe for gay seniors, well, all seniors, you know, how are locales making their space sustainable for senior travelers? You know, that's that broad range of sustainability, and what does it mean? Well, that's another example that we could use, and I think we're probably going to talk about a little bit more in this podcast.
Yeah, so just as a working definition, as I'm thinking about it, you use the term reduce the harm, and I'd like to be a little bit more aspirational than that, because when we talk in those terms, it just feels like tourism or travel can do nothing but harm a place. I do think that there are benefits, first and foremost being economically, to
right.
certain areas bringing tourism in, but I've been to places like places in the Caribbean, islands, where you have these resorts and the wealthiest of the wealthy, and then you have the population of the island, a lot of whom are very poor. And to me, right. that doesn't feel right. So you're bringing money into, but then who's
benefiting
from that money? So as my working definition, as we talk about this, I would like to find a way, or I'd like to think that when I travel, when I partake in these different areas of the world, that I'm not only just not doing harm, as the Hippocratic Oath might say,
right.
but, you know, I'm also doing good.
Well, and that's the kind of the dichotomy of the meaning of sustainable travel. If you're looking at it purely as an ecosystem, then, you know, that eco and not doing harm kind of goes hand in hand. But then you look at some of the other areas, you know, the tourism attraction for communities, accessibility. I kind of touched on that as it relates to senior travel. But then another one that I think is vitally important in this, and you touched on it just here, is community involvement. You see the haves and the haves nots. In the travel kind of, in one sense, supports communities, especially those that that may not be as what's the kind word economically stable, like some of the parts of some of the areas of the Caribbean that really rely on tourism in order so they can be sustained. But I think it really, it kind of comes back, and at least for me on this, is community involvement, accessibility. It's that circle of life in order to make things sustainable. And I think when we talk about it in that fashion, it might resonate a little bit more. How do we complete that circle so that we can continue to do the things that we like to do in that particular area?
Give me some examples, or an example of where you've seen it right.
So I remember doing a paper for the course of the LGBT travel course in the University of Barcelona. And I was trying to look at these different destinations, you know, where do people feel comfortable at, and you know, how do they sustain their travel in these areas? And it came across, of all places, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Now, okay. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. I'm very familiar with where the LGBT community feels comfortable and where they don't. I mean, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Springs. I mean, we could just list a whole place. I never thought in my wildest imagination I'd see an article about LGBT travel relating to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I mean, I was aware of the springs there, but I did not recognize, I did not know how much the LGBT community was welcomed by the local community in Hot Springs. And all the article talked about the spas and the baths and the activities and the arts and all these things that that make a community feel welcome, be a welcoming community, not just for LGBT and but for everybody. And how do they sustain that? They sustain that by being a welcoming community. You know, the interesting component of that is, again, I'm going back a couple of years trying to remember the nuances of the article. And what I wrote about was that in some of the publications, you wouldn't know by reading that it was LGBT friendly. But in some of the other publications, you recognized, oh, well, they talk very freely about how the LGBT community is welcomed, and how in the B&Bs, all those different indicators that, yes, this is a welcoming, a friendly community. But then when you get into the community, you see 100% how everybody is welcomed.
Yeah.
And in that article, as I remember, they talked about how does a community sustain itself And there's the, you know, the economy is one thing, the landscape is another, but it talked vibrantly about, and this is another part of sustainability, is about the community. How is a community welcoming? And then with that, how do tourists and get involved in the community? Mm-hmm. How do they leave their footprint? Because we all come back, we all go somewhere, and we have memories from that experience. But I think what the article spoke about as it related to Hot Springs is leaving that positive impact on the community and going out and telling others about the wonderful experience that you had there. Being it kind of comes back, what I've always believed is the sometimes the best information and referral is from one traveler to another, from mm-hmm. one person to another, because you have that shared experience. And I think that's another component of sustainability is, you know, you can do all the commercials that you can, but when one person talks to another person, or when we do these podcasts are a great way to get information and referral out that is not only sustainable, but from a real life experience. Because you tend to grasp what people tell you and run with it because, well, I'm a overtly trusting person. I don't think people somebody's going to tell me something that just because I want to hear it. They want to be able to share their experience as well. And that's kind of what stuck out at me, because I thought, well, wait a minute, Arkansas in and of itself, I don't think Arkansas is LGBT friendly. Would it be? But here you go. Hot Springs, vacation destination. I've been aware of that for years growing up in St. Louis, but I never felt drawn to going there. But now I am, because I read about how they're welcoming the LGBT community, welcoming everybody, and how they're sustaining their destination and making it welcome for everybody.
Just a quick note that the Hot Springs Arkansas Chamber of Commerce is not a sponsor. However, Hot Springs Chamber of Commerce, if you would like to become a sponsor, please email us at yesiam@agingfully.com.
And we'll come on location.
Oh, yes.
We'll come on location. We'll go to one of the hot springs.
Oh, I will.
You have to bring Amanda, though.
I will put all of myself in a hot spring. So I love all this talk about unpacking what sustainability is. As I was thinking about it, you know, if I were, and you kind of touched on this, if I were to delineate what it means that you are being sustainable as you affect an area economically, as you affect an area environmentally. But right. Then also, I think the thing that we as Americans don't get sometimes is respecting a place culturally. You know, being a good house guest. You know, the term ugly American is a reality. And I've been to enough places to see it in action. Now, that mortifies me, because I absolutely want to make sure that at the very least that people, when I leave a place, aren't glad to see the back of me.
Yeah.
But
can I interject a quick funny story?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the first cruise that I went on, Richard and I went on, this is like 2006. I saw the example of the ugly American. I saw this woman standing at the counter. I mean, she was so rude, screaming at the attendant at the welcoming counter, and what I noticed was her husband to the side, and he's just, you could see how uncomfortable he was, and he just like, oh my God, just what I should. I thought, oh my God, what an example. Why would you travel? And then lo and behold, what are the odds that this would happen the next year? Richard and I go on another cruise. And wouldn't you know it, the lady and her husband were there.
No.
And she was, I mean, I had a, I mean, I still remember watching. There she was at the front counter going off on the side. I mean, how, deja vu. It's like, but, and I really want to, why I interrupted you on that is because we're travelers, we're guests in other people's area. And yes, we're putting money out, we should get top-notch service, but you know that we forget that we're guests in other communities. So sorry for I interrupted your train of thought. So
no, but I mean, you've said it. It's the idea of being aware. I think that we have responsibility as travelers to really learn the place that we're going, to make sure that we don't, I mean, let's forget intentional rudeness, even unintentional faux pas. Again, that would mortify me to know that I unintentionally broke a social rule in another country. And then people were looking at me like, oh, this idiot. You know, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. And I don't ever want to be, in general, something that happens to someone. You know, earthquakes happen to people, right? Losing your job, that happens to people. I don't want to be like, oh, why do you look so pissed off today? Oh, this guy, Josh, happened to me today. Absolutely not what I want in my life. So I do think that it's really important, and it's incumbent on the traveler to become aware of the place that you're going, not just, okay, I have maps so I don't unintentionally make the wrong turn.
Right.
And I know where all the bathrooms are, because that's also very important with a man of a certain age. But also that I don't unintentionally really piss someone off.
Well, and here, and you touched on it. It's like we're going, especially international travel, but there's cultural differences. You know, do your homework before you go to a different destination, especially internationally. What are the cultures there? And you know, don't just I've heard this so many times. Well, that's not how we do it in America. So,
then go back to America.
Then go back. You're not as a, you know. Well, you know, they the French, they're just not friendly. And I said, well, really, is why would you say that? What, you know? Well, they didn't do this. They did. You know, it's so much different in Germany. Well, what do you expect? You know, do your due diligence, learn about the cultures and ask. I think one of the most exciting things for me about travel is learning different cultures. And I've mentioned this before. I said, yeah, my 5-6 years in the seminary studying church history. It's like, to me, when I go into Spain, it's like history class. It's like history class coming to life. I was fortunate that I had that educational background, but goodness, the rich history that's all throughout Europe. You know, learn a little bit about it before you go. Learn the cultural differences and ask. I love learning about different cultures. I think that's another part about how do you travel actually sustainable? Well, I think one of the ways it becomes sustainable is when you learn about other cultures, and that you respect other cultures and you respect the other people that are in there, getting to know the community, not just being one and done.
And I think that points to what I see the point of travel is, which is to broaden your mind, which is to learn, which is to experience diversity. It's not to take your experience that you have at home and take it on the road or try to demand it on the road. Then don't travel if you're going to do that. If you're going to travel, then expand your horizons and be there as a learner. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. I want you to have fun. but have fun in different ways than you usually have fun, because that's kind of the point, or else don't go.
Exactly. Why? Travel is supposed to be fun, and travel is supposed to be for everybody. And I hate to put it in simplistic terms, but that's just kind of how it is.
Any parting words from you?
Any parting words? Well, I would say get out there and travel, enjoy yourself, learn about different cultures, share your experience, but be mindful of the community that you're visiting, as you would want somebody who's visiting your community to be mindful of you as well. And remember, travel is for everyone.
All right, Chris, that's it for today. How can people get in touch with us?
They can get in touch with us by going to aginggayfully.com and emailing us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. That is yesiam@aginggayfully.com, and let us know how you're sustaining travel.
We want to hear your stories. All right, until next week, I've been Josh. That's the Hall of Famer, Chris.
A little rusty on the Hall of Famer, but that's okay. It does sound good.
You are a Hall of Famer.
There are videos of me bowling.
There you go. You'll have to make that available.
Yeah, it's like there might be a fee, but we'll see.
On the Patreon. All right, until next week, y'all go out and y'all age gayfully.
Have fun.